Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Ephesians 6, 19 and 20. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should.
Let us kneel as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, come to you in this morning, very thankful for your love and your mercies to us. We want to thank you for the Valley View Adventist Church, for each and every one of its members. We want to present them to you, lift them up. Please bless us and your Holy Spirit to be with us in this Sabbath. Be with Pastor Don as he preaches your word. And help us to open our hearts to hear your words. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Our prayer, your prayer shield. Yes. Wouldn't you like to have a prayer shield? Amen. Yeah. Be surrounded with prayer constantly, constantly. I want to back up. The reason we're focusing on prayer is for the last three Sabbaths. Two Sabbaths ago, I talked about prayer, and then you read this last Sabbath. Because where are we going to go without prayer? How are we going to accomplish anything without prayer? How are we going to be protected and shielded without prayer? You know, we established a 2020 vision here for Ashland and Valley View, and basically our prayer is that everyone will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Everyone. Without the Holy Spirit, we're toast. We pray that we will pray through and touch God daily. And if you remember, that we desire to sense God's presence. That God is with us. Sensing His presence. Inspiration tells us that we need to sense His presence daily. Daily. I have a video clip I want to show you that my wife came across. And I thought it kind of tied in with prayer and time with God. Pretty awesome. We don't have sound.
Population in the U.S. from 8 to 80. And
okay, let me back up and see if we can start at the beginning.
There was a recent study by the Center for Bible Engagement where they polled 40,000 general population in the U.S. from 8 to 80, and they just wanted to see how we are engaging with Scripture.
Right.
And they discovered something that actually became kind of the profound discovery of the entire study. They weren't even looking for this, and this is kind of became the highlight of the study.
Right.
When we're in the Scripture one time a week, and that could be church on Sunday, that's pastor saying you open your Bible, we hear the message, one time a week had negligible effect on some key areas of your life. So I'm going to spell that out more here in a moment. Two times a week, negligible effect. Now at three times a week, there was a blip on the map, like there was a heartbeat. Something happened, again, a heartbeat.
Okay.
But here was the profound discovery. When we're in the Scripture four times a week, it literally spikes off the chart. You would expect that it'd be one, two, there'd be a gradual incline on the effect and impact that would have in your life. But it was literally 1, 2, 3, 4, something radically happens.
Okay, you got my curiosity.
To this extent.
What kind of behavior is being affected?
Feeling lonely drops 30%.
Wow. Four times a week in the
Bible. Four times a week in the Bible.
Okay.
Anger issues drop 32%. Bitterness in relationships, marriage, a relationship with your kids, and so on, drops 40%. Alcoholism drops 57%. Feeling spiritually stagnant. You know, if there was one area when I'm talking with people that they'll be honest about is they just feel spiritually stagnant. Ask them the question, how much time are you spending in Scripture? If they're in the Scripture four times a week or more, it drops 60%.
Wow.
Viewing pornography drops 61%.
That's very important.
Now, on a flip positive side, sharing your faith jumps 200%.
Wow.
Because you have a confidence in God's Word. And then discipling others jumps 230%.
That's amazing right there.
Is that amazing? That's amazing. I mean, the sight of that for the pastor is kind of a relief, because now when you come to me with your problems, I'm going to ask you how much time you're spending in Scripture. I mean, four times a week, open that Bible, connect with God, and it changes your life. I mean, we need to do it daily. We need to spend time in Scripture, not just studying for knowledge or just trying to understand, but connecting with God, communing with God, you know, connecting with Him, sensing His presence, talking with Him. While you're reading the Scriptures, He's talking to you through the Scriptures, talk back. Commune with Him. I mean, once a week, twice a week, three times a week, four times a week, it spikes. It spikes. Something takes place. You know, said, feeling lonely drops 30%. You know, if you have angry issue, you spend that much time in Scriptures with God, it'll drop 32%. If you have bad relationships with the family and friends, spend time with God, you know, drops 40%. Alcoholism, you know, 57% alcoholism drops just by spending time with God. I just can't believe it. Spiritual stagnant, you ever feel kind of, you're not connected? You don't know where God is? Feel alone, spend time in the Word of God, and 60% of that negative feeling will go away. Just spending time in the Word of God. Viewing pornography, 61%. Sharing your faith. I like that. Sharing your faith. If you spend four times or more per week in the Word of God, the chances of your sharing Jesus with someone else increases by 200%. Wow. I think that would help fulfill our vision right there. Right there. And then discipling others raises up 230%. So, moving on, couple weeks ago, I talked to you about prayer, and I talked about on a personal level, and I gave you a list of 10 things on how to develop a deeper prayer life, a prayer life that will help you connect with God. I gave you 10 ideas. And when I got home, a church member who lives with me says, that was good, but I can't remember all 10 of them. You should have had them printed out or something. So there they are in your bulletin. You have a bulletin insert, all 10 of these, to help you have a personal level, a personal connection, a powerful prayer life personally with God. With God. On the back side, it says, my prayer shield. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, is my prayer shield. Moving on, just for a moment, on our vision for 2020, some of the hardcore spots, there were a lot of points we put out, but it wasn't hard, was that we have an average attendance of how many by the end of 2020? You remember? 2020, that should give you a hint. How many? 200. We want a church attendance of 200 between the two churches. But that's okay, because that will answer the next one. How many small groups do we want by the end of 2020? 20. All right, how many baptisms do we want by the end of 2020? 20. But again, you know, these are just figures, goals, hopefulness, but they'll never be fulfilled. Never be fulfilled except through the Holy Spirit using us and growing in us. Prayer is the key. Connecting with God is the key. Prayer is essential. Remember 2 Chronicles 7:14? If my people, that's you. That's you. That's you and me. If my people who are called by my name, Christians, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. A prayer shield. I think we all would really benefit if we developed a prayer shield. A prayer shield. Prayer must blanket everything we do and plan on doing. Prayer must blanket it. As a people, we need to put a strong prayer shield around each other. Each of us need a strong prayer shield to protect us. There are three ways making that happen. Three ways. I'm going to give you three ways as quickly as I can. But before we start, I want you to do something. I know it's going to wake some of you up. I want you to take your whole hands. Take both your hands. Come on. And raise them up. We're not Pentecostal, but just keep them up. Come on, raise them up. Now, what I want you to do, I'm going to continue and I'm going to talk to you. Don't let them down. Keep them up as long as you can. Okay? We're going to develop a prayer shield. Keep them up as long as you can. And, of course, I got to read you. Okay, so here's number one level of creating a prayer shield. I want you to find, in a moment, be thinking about two or three or even four individuals who are willing to pray for you constantly. I wish I had a picture of this. This is beautiful. Send it to the conference. For the cleaner. Okay. A prayer shield. And what do I have to give? She's going to do it. Keep your hands up. What illustration do I have in the Bible of a prayer shield of two, three, or four people? What illustration do I have? Well, it happens to be in Exodus chapter 17. You're doing great out there. Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 to 13. Here it is. And the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out and fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand up on the hill with the staff of God in my hands." This is the first battle that some of your arms are getting tired, I can tell. You're helping each other. Okay? This is the first battle that happened after the crossing of the Red Sea, you know? It was an enmity between Jacob and Esau that was continuing, carrying on the bitter animosity between the Israelites and the Amalekites. Notice that the focus in this battle or this story is not Moses, nor is it on Joshua, nor is it on Aaron or Ur. The primary focus in this story, is on the underlying supernatural intervention of Yahweh. That's where the focus is. Moses lifted up his hands with a rod in his hands, symbolizing the lifting up our hands in prayer. So when you think about that, Moses was basically praying for victory, wasn't he? We need to be praying for victory. We need to be praying for one another in victory. You guys are awesome. I'm telling you, I'm not sure I can hold my arms up that long. But, you know, Moses lifted up his hands, symbolizes prayer, prayer. And the rod, as I was looking at the rod, I'm thinking, how many times did Moses use that rod in delivering his people? The rod was symbolic of God's power. That's what it was. It was a symbol for the children of Israel. They came out of slavery. They had just, you know, they had just gone clear of the rock bottom when it came to spirituality. They need something visual to hang on to. And so, you guys are great. I love it. I love it. Boy, some of them are going to hang in. Those young people say, we're not going to let any old people beat us. All right. So the rod was symbolic of the power of God. And I thought, how many times did Moses illustrate the power of God by using that rod? And so this is what I found. Maybe we'll switch over. Well, my, you might have to hold your arms up a lot. There we go. It says, when Moses' hands grew tired, they took the stone and put it under him, and he set on it. Aaron and Ur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steadily till sunset. Moses could not keep his hands going all day long. He got tired. And every time his hands went down, what happened? The Israelites were losing the battle. That's right. Anytime we quit praying for one another, we're going to start losing battles, friends. We're going to start losing battles. But every time he held the rod up, Joshua's winning. Joshua's winning. Every time he was winning the battle. And of course, you know, like I said, the elders got tired. But Aaron and Ur held up his arms so that Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with a sword. So what I am proposing, you guys are lasting way longer than I thought you would. What I am proposing is that we find one, two, three, or four individuals who will be our prayer shield and pray for us every day. Does that sound good? Every day. So you can let your arms down. I give up. I'm going to have to be preaching all day because then you will never give up. So take a look at the sheet of paper I put in your bulletin, the insert, and you'll see on that three or four extremely committed intercessors with a special calling to pray for you, like Aaron and Ur. That's what I want you to do. And I got four lines there. Okay. This is what I call a very practical sermon. Now what I want you to do is look around. Look around. Who are you going to put down for your two or three or four? Who will be your prayer shield? Who will pray for you throughout 2020? Every day. Have you come for somebody? You want to ask them? Get up right now. Just get up and go ask them. And if you want to pray for somebody, you say, hey, I want to pray for you every day. I want to be part of your prayer shield. Go tell them. Now, don't be bashful. This is part of the sermon. Stand up and go talk to people. Here comes Paula. She's, I'm coming after you guys. All right. Who do you want to be part of your prayer shield? Who are you willing to pray for? Who do you want to pray for each day? Okay. Come on. I'm going to give you a few moments of silence. I want this to be very practical. Good. Good. Some of you are getting up. I'm assuming that the rest of you do not want a prayer shield. There goes a young person. Praise God. Praise God. Who do you want for your prayer shield? Yes. I'm going to give you a few moments. Those of you who feel that we should quit at 12 sharp, forget it. Not going to happen today. Who are you willing to pray for? Or who would you like to pray for you? How about the young people? Are you into this? Yes. They got a huddle back there. Praise God for young people. Look at them. They're back there in a huddle. They're deciding to form their prayer shield. Praise God. Oh, yes. Does anybody need one? Thank you. Anybody need a copy? I know there's some in the bulletin, but if you need a copy of the handout, there's a hand over there to your right. Who said that church was supposed to be quiet and tippy-toe and not be practical? Who said that? All right, are we doing good? Some of you are doing great. Praise God. Have a prayer shield.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Whoops. Sorry, honey. Now, while you're doing that, if you're still working on that, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Don't stop. Just keep working on it. I'm going to move on to the second way to establish a prayer shield for your life. The second way, okay? Here's number two. I might have waited too long. This thing goes to sleep on me when I... There it goes. Number two. Now I want you to establish 10 to 20. Woo! 10 to 20. Now, you don't have to go around talking to people right now. You can continue this later if you want. But anyway, 10 to 20 consistent intercessors who will pray for you as a regular habit. You know, 10 or 20. Just 10. I mean, stop and think what would happen to this church if we all start praying for one another. Stop and think about that. It'd be powerful. It'd be powerful. Can you imagine if nobody's praying for you and you get weary, you get tired, and you give up? Why? Because you didn't have a prayer shield. No one was praying for you. So there's 10 or 20, you know? And the story I get to support this is found in Acts chapter 12. I love this story. Acts chapter 12, verses 1 to 16. You can look it up. I'm not going to read the whole thing because... time. But Peter's in prison. Peter is in prison, and he's guarded by four squads of soldiers. Each squad has four soldiers in it. And every 3 hours, they change. Two guards at the gate, guarding the gate. Two guards are chained to Peter. Usually, there's only one guard chained to Peter. But in this case, there's two guards chained to Peter. I mean, they did not want Peter to escape. Because you know what happens if a prisoner escaped? The soldier had to pay the price. That's right. If Peter escaped, I often wonder what happened to the soldiers. You know? Because you know the story. So it's the night before Peter's trial. He's chained between two soldiers. An angel awakens Peter and he says, "Quick, get up!" And the chains fall off Peter's wrist. They're each chained to guard. Fall off her wrist. And the angel, it says, goes on and walks Peter out past the guards at the gate, walks the length of one street, which I'm trying to think maybe it was a block for us, a city block, walks the length of the street and then disappears. Now, all this time, Peter is thinking he's dreaming. What a nice dream. Now you're going to wake up to reality. And he does. He wakes up to reality and realizes it's not a dream. It's real. It's real. These chains have fallen off. He's left the prison. No one knew it. He comes to himself and he realizes the angel actually rescued him. Where did the angel go? Back to heaven. Or at least he wasn't seen. Where did Peter go? It tells us that he goes to the church. I love it. Listen to this carefully. Where'd he go? He went to John Mark's mother's home. And there the group was praying for him. The church. Small groups, when you're meeting together, you are the church. Amen. Every one of you. This building is not the church. You are the church. And when you meet in small groups, it was like in John Mark's home, his mother's home. The church was there praying for Peter. He's praying for Peter, that somehow Peter can be rescued. And I love it. I love the story. Peter knocks on the door. And Rhoda, the servant girl, goes to the door, recognizing Peter's voice. She turns around and she runs out and she tells the small group of prayer warriors that Peter has escaped. Notice, prayer warriors. Peter has escaped. And the prayer warriors say, "You're dreaming, girl." Confidence in answered prayer? Something happened there. Somehow they missed it, didn't they? Instead of jumping up and being excited, they're saying, "You're dreaming. You're seeing things. You're imagining." But Peter constantly knocks at the door. And she keeps trying to tell him, "Peter's at the door. Peter's at the door." And finally, between all her persistence and the knock on the door, even trying to tell her she's out of her mind, they get up and they go to the door, thinking it might be an angel or something, open the door, and guess who's there? Peter. Peter is at the door. They are astonished. Absolutely astonished. They can't believe it. Small groups, you got it made. You have each other to pray for each other. Those of you that are not in a small group yet, find 10 or 20 people. Find them. Prayer warriors who will pray for you on a constantly. To lift us up. We get tired of holding up our own hands. And sometimes, unfortunately, we can't take it anymore. And so we fall. But you can help one another in holding each other's hands up in prayer. The third area of the prayer shield is any number of people who will pray occasionally for you. And that biblical example, to me, is Paul's continued prayer recruitment. Our scripture reading this morning, found in Ephesians. Paul says, "Pray always for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words will be given me also, that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. For which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." It kind of reminds me of our praise and prayer time together. For you're asking the church at large to pray for you. So in your prayer shield, list a lot of names. But here's a secret. Here's a secret to a powerful prayer shield. You as individuals and young people, you too, I'm proud of you. You've got to communicate with one another and let others know what to pray about. How do we know what to pray about if we don't communicate with one another? We need to hold each other up. We need to be strength for one another. We cannot walk this walk alone. We can't do it. I can't do it. And I know I have two or three of you out there praying for me every day, and I praise God for that. I praise God for that. Keep all three levels informed in praying. I challenge you. I challenge you to develop a prayer shield. Go deep with God. Sense His presence, His ever-abiding presence. Develop that prayer shield, because prayer is the key. I'll ask the deacons to hand out the commitment card this time. they will. Commitment cards. We haven't handed them out yet. And the first thing on the commitment card is, those who are visitors, I just want to say, give us your information. We'd love to know who you are. And we write you a letter. Thank you for coming and visiting us. And we hope that you come back often. Members, this is your chance, and visitors, to put down prayer requests. Put down prayer requests, because your pastor prays for you if you put down a prayer request. And I know what to pray for. On the back of the card, we have three commitments. The first commitment you answered 2 weeks ago, it says, I plan to go deep with God and move towards sensing His ever-abiding presence. Check that off if that's true. Number two, I choose to develop a prayer shield about me. Three or four committed intercessors, 10 or 12 regular intercessors, and any number of individuals. You have to establish, talk to people. Join us in our fellowship dinner. We'd love to have you. Join us in our fellowship dinner. There's a chance to communicate with individuals. And number three, I will daily pray for the Valley View Church and the pastor. Amen. He needs it. He needs it. Fill out these credit cards and get them to an elder or deacon or myself as you leave. And again, you're all invited to join us in our fellowship dinner this afternoon. And my prayer is that every one of us, young and old, will develop a prayer shield for your life. Father God, we thank you for your love and your blessings. I want to thank you, Father God, for this people. And I pray that you'll bless us and keep us. Keep us in your protection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.